We'll QSL the November 12, 2010 rain report in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. From the Radio Amateur Information Network, this is the Rain Report. I'm Byron Lee, KC9EEK. Just a reminder that if you want to know the minute the next rain report is posted, follow us on Twitter by going to twitter.com/therainreport. Now, this week's program. Once upon a time, it was a common sight to walk into a ham shack and see a bulletin board or even an entire wall plastered with colorful postcards from hams worldwide. These were known as QSL cards. Today, QSLing has gone electronic. Just take your browser to eqsl.cc and feast your eyes on literally millions of virtual QSL cards. The ham behind eQSL is Dave Morris, N5UP.
I've done a lot of different entrepreneurial things in my life. I've invented some things and I've created some websites, and I was always trying to find some kind of interesting application for the internet. And I was actually sitting in a hotel room in Honolulu working as a call center consultant to one of the big call center companies out there, a travel company. And I was envious of the people that were out on the beach at the time, knowing that I was having to get dressed and go into an office and spend all day in the office. And I thought, how can I apply the internet to the things that people do on an ordinary basis? And I remembered reading that Oracle had started trying to come up with ideas for exchanges of different kinds. You know, we've got eBay, which is an exchange where people can buy and sell things on the internet. There were chemical exchanges where companies could buy and sell chemicals on the web. And I was sitting there thinking, what if I created an exchange for QSL cards where you could upload your graphic that you would normally print on a card, and then as you had QSOs, you would type those in on an entry form, and then I would store all that QSO information, and I would store your QSL information, and when the guy at the other end of that QSO wanted to get your QSL card, he would just go to a page, and I would create a new HTML page that would contain both your graphic and the QSO details. And then he could immediately display that card. He could print it right there on his local printer. And you would eliminate the postage, the printing costs, the envelope, the SASE, the green stamps, the IRCs, all that stuff, and all of the time that it normally takes to wait for that card to come back. That was May 14th, 1998. I created the first little system. I think I ran one $60 ham ad in QST. I had like 4,000 people signed up right away. I thought, holy cow, this is working out. But the technology that I was using was very rudimentary. I was using HTML to create the QSL card. So you had a graphic and then you had your QSO details. It was going to bog down really fast if I kept it in that technology, which was just real simple HTML technology. And so in about the year 2000, I switched over to a different web hosting company that had the ability to use an Access database. And so I put it all on an Access database, rewrote the software so that instead of an HTML QSL card, it would actually superimpose your QSO details on top of the graphic so that the person at the other end could see the card with all the details contained within the graphic. Then I went from Access. I realized that Access was woefully underpowered and went to SQL Server. And so in 2000, we quickly jumped up to 100,000 EQSLs in the database. Toward the end of that year, we had 1 million EQSLs in the database and 7,000 users. By about 2001, we had 10 million EQSLs and 30,000 members. I just basically kind of put out the idea that normally when you have a QSO, at the end of the QSO, you exchange QSL information. You give your address and all that kind of stuff. And I said, it's just a whole lot easier just to say QSL via eqsl.cc. This was one of the probably first and most effective of the viral marketing concepts that anybody's ever seen, because a ham talks to 10 other hams, each one of them talks to another 10 hams, and so it kind of grows exponentially. So by 2006, we had 100,000 members. By 2008, we had 92 million EQSLs in the database. I checked today, we have 185,000 user accounts. We're adding about 60 new members every day. Those members are uploading 6,000 new EQSLs every hour into our database. We've got about 178 million EQSLs online right now. That's the way it's gone. We've kept the service free of charge for the basic QSL service. The way the internet seemed to be working, even from the very earliest days, was people would provide some form of their service for free. And then if you wanted the premium features, then you paid a little extra. And so that's kind of the way we've been doing it, too. You could sign up today in about 10 minutes. You can be online. You can be exchanging EQSLs for free. And if you want to participate in some of the special features where you create custom EQSL card graphics or where you participate in our e-awards programs, then there's just a slight extra fee. It's like you can pay $5 a year. You can have a silver membership for $30 a year. Or you can have a gold membership, which is a lifetime membership. That's kind of the way it's been going, and that's kind of where we're at right now. We've introduced a whole bunch of e-awards. We have a equivalent of the DXCC, which is called EDX 100. We have an equivalent of the Worked All States, which is our EWAS. We have endorsements for both of those. You can get band endorsements. You can have an eWorked All States 20 meters, or you can have an eWorked All States CW. You can have an EDX 100 20 meters, EDX 100 PSK. We have an equivalent of a CQ Zones award similar to the Worked All Zones called EZ40, so on and so on. So we've got prefix awards and grid square awards. We'll be doing a lot more awards along those veins.
You're listening to an interview with Dave Morris, N5UP, the man behind EQSL Hat conducted by RAIN founder Hap Holly, KC9RP. We'll continue Hap's interview with Dave in a moment. This is the Radio Amateur Information Network, therainreport.com.
How do you maintain the integrity of your e-program?
Well, one of the things we realized early on was that the internet, being the anonymous medium that it is, allows for people to be somebody that they aren't. Anyone can register online. In fact, early on, I realized that somebody could register as W1AW, and then they could just start uploading logbooks of QSOs with themselves or their friends, and pretend that W1AW was doing all that. So we decided early on that there was a need for some sort of identity protection, some sort of guarantee that the person that is uploading these logs is who they say they are. And so I created a thing I called the Authenticity Guaranteed Program, or AG for short. How can I verify a person's identity? Scanners were popular and digital cameras were becoming more popular, and I thought, well, it'd be real easy to just take my digital camera or my scanner, take a picture of my driver's license, and upload that. But these are hams. They've all got ham radio licenses, whether they're in the United States or somewhere else. I'll just have them scan their ham license or shoot a picture of it with a digital camera or whatever and upload it. And then we'll just have a queue of these things. And every couple of days, I'll just go through this queue and I'll take a look, and if the license seems to match up with the call sign and the signed license, it doesn't look like somebody whipped it out with a word processor, then we'll say we verified that this person is who they say they are. That works out really nicely when people are shooting pictures of their FCC license. But then we started looking at other countries. Some countries don't have the same kind of standards for licenses. We got looking at Greek licenses and Ukrainian licenses and Japanese licenses and thinking, holy cow, how are we going to know if this is really a license or if this is a statement that don't ever give this guy any money because he's a scam artist or something. So we decided, well, probably be a good idea if we got some native speakers to be looking at some of these licenses. So I've got people from a variety of different countries that look at different licenses. Now that we've got quite a collection of scanned license images, we know kind of what we're looking for, and we know when something doesn't look right. And we've spotted quite a number of people that have tried to doctor their license with Photoshop or something and change it into something else. We generally catch all those. But in the meanwhile, that prevents that kind of fraud from being perpetrated where somebody is misrepresenting who they are. Now, it will always be possible for somebody to lie about a QSO that they never had. Whether that's a regular QSL card that they're mailing to you for a QSO that you never had with them and you paid them to give you a card so that you could get an award, or whether they do that with EQSL or whether they do that with Logbook of the World, doesn't matter. People are always going to be able to cheat. But my opinion is if you really want an award that badly, just go laser print the damn thing yourself and don't worry about submitting phony cards. Just print the award. We haven't had too much of that recently. And, you know, it's a hobby. It's not military security. So we try to treat it that way, but still maintain the integrity of the awards program.
Tell me about the hardware you're using.
Well, we started out running everything on a web host out in California where we were sharing the machine with 20 or 30 other companies, and we quickly outgrew that. I started looking around here in Dallas for a web hosting company, and back around the turn of the millennium, when the dot-com bust happened, there was a big data center that somebody had created that went bankrupt, and another company called The Planet bought them out and acquired all of this wonderful computer equipment and floor space, so they had lots of computers available. And so I rented a computer from them for a little bit, and then I went out and bought a Dell server and installed it out there. That Dell server ran for 4 years without ever being powered off. At the end of 4 years, I really needed to upgrade to two servers, and so we rented two servers and took the Dell out. The Dell's sitting over here on the floor right now. And then in June or July of this year, we moved to another two different servers. We now have one server that is essentially running the web server, application server, and mail server. And then that communicates with another box that is doing nothing but SQL Server. And so that's our database backend engine. The two of them are connected through a virtual rack. Those two are the core of our server farm. Then we have a off-site, out-of-city, out-of-state backup solution now, so that in the event that some tornado or something were to come ripping through here and destroy the entire data center, we've got everything backed up to a different city. Then we have an off-site monitoring system set up in Boca Raton, Florida, that tries to connect to our server every 15 minutes. And if it, for some reason, is unable to complete a transaction that goes all the way through to the database server, then it notifies us. So we've got all of that stuff going on that's all part of the overall integrity of the system and keeping everything all running.
Did you ever think in 1998 that EQSL would grow to what it is here in 2010?
No, it was kind of difficult for me to imagine where the whole internet was going at the time. I've been involved in the computer industry since 1975 and had a lot of really high hopes for it. But no, it was kind of difficult to foresee things like smartphones, Bluetooth headsets, and things like that back then too in 1998. It was just another attempt to see what I could do with computers and with the internet. I didn't have any idea it was going to go this far, no. There's only one thing that I would have probably changed and that is now sort of coming back to bite me, and that is that I didn't really take the county hunters into account. County hunters really do things a little differently than other people that are just making contacts. Did you know, for example, that a county hunter can park his car on the border between two counties and make one contact that counts for both of those counties? Now imagine if you have constructed this elaborate computer model of a QSO that says AQSO is made between two people that are each in a single QTH, and that QTH is defined by a grid square, a city, a state, a county, an ITU zone, a CQ zone, blah, 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 longitude, latitude, and so on. And so now you make this contact, and suddenly it has to count for two different QTHs. Well, if I had thought about that in the very beginning, I would have changed a little bit about the structure of my user profiles and made that a lot easier to accommodate. So what I'm having to do now is, because I really want to support the county hunters, so what I'm having to do now is make it possible to upload a logbook where potentially every QSO in that logbook is being made from a different QTH. As you're driving your camper across Utah and Colorado and Wyoming or whatever, maybe every QTH you make is actually from a different grid square, a different county, a different lat long coordinate, etc. Right now, you would have to go into our system and create a new user profile for every one of those QTHs. And so what I'm working on right now is the ability to just simply upload the log, and we will auto-generate all those new profiles for all those QTHs for you and create the EQSL with all the appropriate QTH information. That's kind of a major project, and it's not trivial at all, and I kind of wish I had done things a little differently way back in the very beginning that would have made it easier to do that now, but that's really kind of the only thing I can think of that I would have changed about the thing.
That concludes part one of Hap Hawley's conversation with Dave Morris, N5UP, the ham behind EQSL, a virtual QSL website available at eqsl.cc. We'll finish up Hap's interview next time. I'm recording this episode on a microphone made by Samson called the G-Track, which is a USB microphone with its own built-in sound card. Let me know how you think it sounds by emailing us at hap@therainreport.com. The Rain Report is copyright 1990-2010. Rain. All rights reserved. Now for everyone connected with Rain, including Amy Ivona, our script reader in training from last week, I'm Byron Lee, KC9EEK, bidding you a very 73 from all of us at Rain, the Radio Amateur Information Network. www.therainreport.com